My name is Jeff Harbach. I'm the CEO of Coffin Fellows and the host of the Coffin Fellows podcast. This season, our podcast is produced in partnership with Mighty Capital and features different Coffin Fellows as co-hosts. In this podcast, we dive deep into the personal narratives of some of the most successful names in the venture capital industry. But we're not here just to explore their highlight reels, however impressive they are. From failures and formative learning experiences to inflection points and aha moments, we discuss the real, authentic journeys that each individual goes through to become the best version of themselves in order to best serve the entrepreneurs they invest in. Covering various themes in venture capital investing, we speak with the world's top leaders in capital formation, all from a place of authenticity and vulnerability. Together, we'll unravel what truly makes a great venture capital investor. Now let's meet today's host and their guest.
Hi, my name is Maddie Callender, VP at Boost VC, the 500K accelerator for sci-fi tech. And I'm thrilled to host this series, Women Leading Deep Tech Investments, featuring the stories, motivations, and industry insights of venture capitalists who are taking big risks on the next generation of deep tech founders. Now, let me introduce my guest today. Thank you for joining me today. I want to give a very warm welcome to Christy Cardenas, Managing Partner at Grit Ventures. I am so excited to have you here and so excited to reconnect. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I would love to jump right in and learn a little bit more about your background and career journey to how you got to Grit Ventures.
Yeah, sure. So I am something of a unique animal in venture. I started in investment banking, then moved into large scale private equity. So we, for I guess context, we had about $30 billion under management, really focused on energy infrastructure. And I think at some point in private equity, I kind of came to the conclusion that, you know, if you really want to make your mark on the world, you have to be involved in innovation. And that means entrepreneurship and venture. And so I started my journey from there to venture. And, you know, now here I am, Grit Ventures.
And could you break down Grit Ventures' investment thesis a little bit more and tell us more about what types of checks you write and teams you're looking for?
Yeah, sure. So we are an early stage deep tech fund, pre-seed and seed for the most part. Sometimes we'll double down on the Series A. We like to be the first institutional capital in, and we'll go as high as $1 million or three even in a seed check. But, you know, sometimes we go in early enough that we'll start as small as something like 250. We organize ourselves around the universities, and so deeper technical founders and the ecosystem surrounding our hub universities. And we're really investing in what we consider the clean machine revolution. So AI, robotics, and energy, what I think of as technological infrastructure.
Could you dig in a little bit more into sort of the unsexy problems and maybe the three D's that you had on your website?
Yeah, sure. Dull, dirty, dangerous. I mean, I think there's all sorts of things that, and you know, like I've been thinking a lot about this a lot when it comes to labor shortages and such. There are a lot of things that people don't want to do and really shouldn't be doing, you know, trash. We're taking a close look now at recycling, which really is kind of, you know, sifting through trash. Ideally, machines can solve these type of problems, but there's a lot, you know, anything routine, anything that is a rote manual task that you can kind of machine enable and program a machine very specifically to do that humans aren't quite well suited for. I think of humans as, you know, they're like these amazing enlightened creatures, and to kind of subject them to doing these very routine manual tasks, it just doesn't make sense. So that's the sort of thing that we're, you know, focused on solving.
Yeah, I loved that. The driving superhuman productivity as almost like a superpower, you know, letting machines support the humans. Deep tech can often be all sorts of, I mean, it covers all sorts of things. How does Grit Ventures define deep tech?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think of it as taking sizable technology risk, right? So in and beyond kind of software and SaaS is, I think, a broad way to think about it. But the type of things that we're investing in are are hardware, which doesn't, you know, you don't necessarily have to be hardware to be deep tech, but just given the amount of focus that there's been on software, a lot of deep tech is hardware these days. So, you know, new batteries, new material science companies, new machine formulations to solve existing problems, that sort of thing.
Oh, I love that. When you're looking at investing in a deep tech team, what are you looking for in founders?
Yeah, good question. You know, risk appetite, I'd say, self-awareness, you know, I'd say an inherent ability to kind of reflect and make good decisions. And that's a really broad bucket, but, and very important, not only technical decisions, because a lot of times these are technical founders, but commercial decisions, which brings me to the last point, an ability to adapt. You know, a lot of times with these technical founders, you get into arenas that you may or may not be comfortable in, and you may need to seed power, or, you know, there may be transitions that happen. And so I think the, like we said, self-awareness and flexibility to adapt to those very human challenges is really important.
You mentioned trash as one of the challenges earlier. What other important challenges do you think we are facing right now that you could see robotics, automation, AI playing a bigger role in solving?
Yeah, good question. You know, labor, big problem. Mm-hmm. And really, when I say that, I really mean socioeconomic inequality. You know, the fact that our society is so segmented and unequal because we require manual labor. You know, I think of, when I think about what, and part of the reason that I chose to get into robotics and kind of machines is that I do think machines should be doing this stuff. I don't think humans should have to do dull, dirty, dangerous and put their lives at risk for a job. And I believe that this kind of machine revolution has the potential to free humanity into a more equal society, but also to pursue enlightened, you know, enlightenment, expanded consciousness. I mean, there are so many different pieces of it. So that's kind of one. And I believe that this machine revolution has to happen because of it. But two is climate change. Yes. I mean, it has got to be clean. We can't destroy the earth while we do it because, you know, in the earth v humans scenario, humans aren't going to win that fight. You know, so that's also really important to me. And I see the need for, you know, deep tech really becomes critical here because we don't have the solutions. You know, we've been relying on fossil fuels for the last couple hundred years, and we're going to have to find new answers to these problems.
I wanted to dig into how you source and work or find the companies that you invest in. You mentioned working with universities, hub and spoke model. Would you mind sharing a little bit more about what role the universities play?
Oh, sure. So I think of the universities as kind of the tech R&D nervous system in the United States. You know, it's kind of like a really nicely organized hub and spoke system where there's a whole bunch of technical experts. And not only that, but, you know, a lot of talent. There's corporations and money. They're a really nicely organized system. And so we pay attention to the labs where professors, researchers are developing technology actively. And there are a handful of universities that are really strong in robotics and AI. And those also happen to be the universities that pay attention to energy for obvious reasons. And so we spend quite a bit of time just getting to know the universities, the tech transfer offices, but also the individual researchers that are spending the time doing the, you know, the real work. And then beyond the universities, the other piece of it that's nice is there, these innovation ecosystems tend to develop around the universities. And so that aura is another thing that we pay attention to where, you know, it's talent, it's startups, it's, you know, Austin, Silicon Valley, Boston, Atlanta, right? They're Denver. So that's kind of how we organize ourselves and then how we spend our time efficiently.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about the deep tech funding puzzle. So there aren't a lot of early stage VCs who will write the initial checks into some of these companies. How do governments play a role? How does Grit Ventures play a role in helping deep tech companies get off the ground?
Yeah, so it's a more complex game, definitely. And the government's really important. I mean, you know, some technologies, particularly deeper technologies, only the US government has the wherewithal to kind of explore and fund. And I actually find the government just extremely important. They're the most powerful economic force on the globe. You know, if you look at federal spending, it's like a third of US GDP. It's like $6 trillion a year. So we're paying really close attention to where the Biden administration is spending money in infrastructure and R&D, and that's really important to us. So that means not only watching where the dollars are going, but paying attention to the organizations that are doing the work. The universities are a big piece of that for the reasons we just talked about. Corporates, you know, this particularly in robotics, in these kind of deeper tech fields, but specifically robotics, AI, and energy, there's something of a chasm to bridge. You know, you've got the R&D happening in the universities, got where the tech is today. And then you've got what the corporates care about. And not only that, but you've got corporates that have huge economic power, but need to pivot. You know, you've got oil and gas companies that need to somehow become clean energy companies or machine companies. And so we're actively paying attention to bridging that gap and making that process more efficient. And that's what I believe that's the investor's responsibility in large part, is to kind of be a network organizer and connect some of these dots and sort out how to make this equation work better.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, thank you for that explanation. I want to shift our conversation a little bit over to diversity in deep tech. I noticed in your bio, you were, you know, and all things women. And I know that our first conversation that we had was so fun. And like, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, just loved having such a great conversation with you. You've been in the VC investing ecosystem now for, I think, like 4 years, right? So you've seen how it's changed. And I wanted to just sort of get your take on what you've seen change and what you would like to continue to see, you know, shift in the future.
Well, so we had COVID. That happened.
Yes.
That, you know, things pretty radically changed. Prior to that, it felt like software. And I think COVID hit and there was sort of a reevaluation of priorities, you know? And so I see institutional capital moving towards impact, moving towards these more systemic solutions, and moving towards diversity, to your point. I totally care. And I think people now, after this kind of immense reflection period that was COVID, are more willing to kind of make moves. And what I'm finding is these people in positions of power that are sort of freedom fighters that are willing to help you kind of get your diversity program done and, you know, overlay that with the opportunity that comes out of deep tech. And I think it's a really special time to be a deep tech investor, honestly.
It feels that way for us at Boost VC and other investors that I've been interviewing, that there's a lot of opportunity right now that hasn't been realized. As we talk about women and underrepresented founders in deep tech, do you have any ideas on how we can increase the deal flow and see more women and underrepresented founders starting companies in the deep tech space?
Yeah, so I'm heavily focused on it for obvious reasons. And part of the reason that my background in energy is kind of suited for deep tech, but I also just believe there's huge economic opportunity. Like when I look at the next couple decades from deep tech, it's not only new businesses, it's potentially entirely new industries. And when you think about the socioeconomic value that will spawn from what is just beginning, it's enormous. So I think we have the opportunity of a lifetime to allocate that opportunity with an eye towards diversity. And so that's what I'm doing. I mean, we have a program at Grit, and we're, you know, another reason that I like focusing on the universities, whereas STEM and AI, robotics, energy, venture, all diversity challenged, the universities are homes of extremely diverse talent. And so we have this kind of special opportunity because we're tapped in to take these very talented university technical professionals and business professionals, and we're talking about masters and PhDs that are working in the labs, and kind of hotwire them into this economic opportunity. So whereas I can't control the founders that I see today, I can make sure that the founding team has appropriate diversity. I can make sure that these technical experts at the universities that are PhDs and masters and, you know, very educated, very capable, are connected to those professors that are starting the companies and make sure that they're educated and know enough to be dangerous. And so that's really, we're using the Grit Fellows program to do just that and try and really trying to affect systemic change.
Oh, I love that. You know, I think somewhere maybe in your Medium post, you were talking about how all investing is impact investing. And I just wanted to get your take on what you meant by that and what that sort of means relative to grit.
I believe it. I really do. I see a future. If I think about what my generation cares about, I look at the demographics of the next couple of generations. We care about impact. That's what we care about. And when I think about the purpose of capitalism and money, it's to it gives me a power to use that money towards impact. So that's one. I see a future where the entire economy is impact oriented, and we have enough data to and enough transparency to actually make decisions according to that. Two, and this is happening today. This isn't a future state. You know, I believe all investing we do has impact. And if you have a negative impact to your investment, a negative societal impact, then you should really consider that investment risk, because institutional capital is moving in response to impact now, whether that be diversity related or environmental, you know, it's all the same. I think it has to do with humans having survival and quality of life in their best interest. And we're just quite simply getting smarter about it.
Thank you. That gives me a lot to think about. I'm going to shift us over into what makes a great deep tech VC. The Kaufman Fellows podcast is focused on educating and introducing new ideas to existing investors. So my first question is, what do you think makes a great investor?
It's difficult. You know, I think you have to, in a lot of ways, be able to separate, to think unemotionally, to think logically, almost to a fault, and kind of see the reality of what's happening. And not only that, but read people. You know, a lot of investing in startups is a really human effort. There are so much, such human challenges that come in growing a company. And so being able to kind of recognize how that those are going to play out, I think, is at the heart of being good at it. Easier said than done, you know?
Yes. And easier. Separating your emotions is always a little tricky.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for our audience of investors considering an investment in the deep tech space?
Yeah, you know, deep tech is a kind of a unique animal in that it's sort of a, in addition to just the being a good investor, you need to be relatively technical. And if you're not technical yourself, then you need access to people that are experts. And so that would be my number one piece of advice, and something I use in my work at Grit quite frequently is talk to experts. You know, talk to people that understand this better than you do, because there's always something new to learn. And there are different risks that you take, and you want to just go in eyes wide open.
And should there be any consideration around timeline or, you know, risk appetite that's a little bit different than traditional generalist investing?
Yeah, most definitely. Timeline is an issue. And I think that, you know, I'm seeing a much deeper focus on hardware, that I think that some of the problems we've had in the past are going to change going forward, just in terms of hardware infrastructure and development infrastructure and people kind of willing to throw the appropriate resources at the situation. But I do think you have to, you know, it's not scaling a software company is very different. There are kind of stages to this and different risks in each stage and different hurdles that can stop you anywhere. And so timeline is, I think, a very important critical risk.
How do you stay curious? What blogs or podcasts or books inspire you? And then, of course, I have to ask, any sci-fi recommendations?
Yeah, it's easy to stay curious. I find myself inundated with, you know, deep tech, and I do try to get away from it sometimes. I really like psychology and mythology, you know, so I like Carl Jung or Joseph Campbell, those types. And I don't know if I have any good sci-fi recommendations. I feel like I should ask you for sci-fi recommendations, honestly. You probably have better. I love sci-fi, honestly. I don't have any recent recommendations.
Okay. Well, I'll circle back with you on that one. What are you excited to be learning about right now? What's sort of the hot topic on your plate?
Honestly, self-care. And, you know, Mint, I think that is a field I've got some growing to do in, but it's really important.
Yes.
To maintain balance and, you know, stoicism, kind of controlling my mind despite the external impetus.
That's been huge in the last year, and I think will continue to be a very relevant topic or conversation in the next 18 months.
Yeah, most definitely.
And my last question, so what fuels you? What motivates you to keep investing and growing and thinking and learning and doing all the great things that you do?
The special opportunity I think we have right now to make the world a better place. I do. And I care about women and the underrepresented. And I anytime you have an accelerated period of change, that breeds opportunity inevitably, if you can just keep your head on straight enough to take advantage of it. So that's really what's keeping me going, is not only the opportunity, but the understanding that it's happening now and it may not be here forever. And that we can really use it to give women and other neglected peoples a stronger voice, and that will be better for the world.
I love that. Thank you so much for joining me today, being on this podcast. I'm excited. And I loved hearing everything that you had to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's a wrap. Tune in next week for another candid conversation on what makes a great VC investor with your host, the Kaufman Fellows.